Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Stacy, and you are listening to The Diary. We're coming out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 p.m. I think last week I said Saturday. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I was re-listening. So Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday.
All right, every Sunday at 3, I'm here with Ray, my co-host.
Hello.
And today is a great day for us. Every day is a great day when we have an opportunity to go out and talk and present our views on things that are happening. You know, we are out of Sacramento, and first and foremost, my heart and a whole bunch of my tears over the past couple days. And if I talk about it too much, I'll start crying right here.
I'm just feeling it.
Goes out to the people of Haiti and the Haitian Americans who have family over there, because we're not very far. There are tons of Haitian Americans here, and, you know, just earthquakes are something my whole life. Growing up in Los Angeles, you know, that's why I live in Sac today, I swear. Because that earthquake in 94, that was it. I never, ever was able to deal with that ground shaking underneath me stuff.
See, my mother lost her condo, her very first house she ever owned.
For those people, one of my biggest fears is like being in trap. So my heart, my prayers, all my love, everything goes out to the families of the Haitian Americans. And, you know, we're going to talk about them today. We're also going to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that's going to be a feature of ours, you know, through this month and definitely all of Black History Month. We're going to also, Ray's going to talk to us about how we make a thought or a bill turns into a law. And you know, last but definitely not least, we are going to have a special tribute to my number one mentor and king and everything else, the king, Dr. Martin Luther King. His birthday is Monday. We're celebrating his birthday on Monday and all the wonderful things, you know, he did for all people, not just Black people. You know, that's what people, you know, have to realize. He didn't just die for Black people. He died for the rights of people in general.
Yeah.
The rights of women, of people just in general. So
just fighting for right and wrong.
Yes. So we are celebrating also his birthday and his life, and you know, I hope to be an extension of what he was trying to do, what he died for. My work definitely is an extension, as far as I'm concerned, of the work that he died for. So we're coming out of SAC. This is The Diary. And once again, the Haitian people, you know, we want to pray for all of those people, all of the families. And, you know, we want to discuss also when we talk about the Haitian people, you know, do other countries, does America, I mean, do we take our time when people of color are in need or in tragedy? We're also going to talk about that too. And we want you to call in if possible. Our call-in number is 917-889-9946. And as always on The Diary, we feature music because we feel that music is universal. Music is love. Music is beauty. My dad was a musician. More than 50% of my siblings are musicians and singers, and I like to call myself one too. I got a bass in my living room that I try to play. So you know, we
so cool.
We are thank you. We have some African, you know, music that we're going to feature. Once again, we are calling out of Sacramento. This is The Diary, and I want to feature our feature is Gazelle. And unlike the people of Haiti right now, they don't feel really free. They kind of feel trapped and hurt. But this African song, this is called Gazelle, and this is how I want the hearts of all people to feel. Free like this, and I'm going to play Gazelle. We'll be back. This is The Diary once again. We're coming out of SAC every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and I'm getting kind of messed up. You know what? Let's change that song. We got a lot of African music, and we're going to play So Anxious.
So Anxious.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
Because, you know, every time I look at CNN, you know, and I just see my people, and suffering, and that's all we've been looking at the last 4 weeks. And I'm anxious, and they anxious, and you see them going for the supplies, and the poor little kids just out there.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I just want whatever you feel you can do or we can do as a nation to help those people, just, you know, pray for them first and send money, I think, through the Red Cross.
Absolutely.
Second. Red Cross is always on the mark, and they're always there. And,
oh, yes.
And
yes.
I would say Red Cross first, and also Wyclef has an organization. He's a Haitian. So represent and help him. You know, if you're going to give to anybody, give to that man and give to the Red Cross. I would say Wyclef because he's a brother. He's Haitian. He's got something already set up for his folks out there. So right now I'm going to play so anxious because that's what I am right now. And this is the diary. We coming out of SAC. We'll be right back. All right, this is Stacy. This is the diary. We're coming out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 on Block Talk Radio. I'm with my co-host, Ray, and please call in at 917-889-9946. And today, the first thing we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue our feature pretty much on the Southern Poverty Law Center. And, you know, those are the folks out there in Alabama that are kind of keeping a watch on all the racist groups and all the racist activity. And they come up with this intelligence report that they come out with to kind of keep us aware of the things that are going on. Last week when we were here and we were talking about the children of hate and how, you know, over the remember?
That's right.
Yeah. Over the generations, you know, the children decide that they don't want to live that way. They don't they don't want to, you know, go through life that way.
That horrible legacy.
Right, they don't. So we're going to continue with that, and then I'm going to go over what is her name, and we're going to go over that. And she was taking on the Klan.
Oh, right.
Carolyn Wagner, okay? Oh, we're just going to read some stuff specifically from the article, from the intelligence report. She says that one summer night in 1965, and I was just a baby of 2 years old at that time.
Wow.
She was 12 years old. It says 12-year-old Carolyn Wagner watched as Klansmen bound a young black man to a tree in her father's field, accusing him of violating the sundown rules in nearby Boonville.
Like a curfew?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like
right.
They had to be in when the sun went down or something stupid like that.
Right. It's nearby Boonville, Arkansas.
Oh, right. Is that because they couldn't? They said they couldn't see them out?
That forbid. No, that's what you said.
No, I'm serious. The white people said that. My mother told me about those things.
Okay. Well, let me. Okay.
They were scared that they wouldn't be able to see them.
Okay. Well, ignorant. Let me read the doggone thing. Okay. We know they're ignorant, but we're trying. See, and that's another thing that my new frame of mind, my new philosophy, we know about the problem. We know about the problem.
Let's talk solution.
We're talking solution.
All right. I like that.
This was the problem, so we're talking solution. So let me go on.
Okay, sorry.
All right. Now, you want to know about the sundown rule.
Absolutely.
Okay, that forbade blacks from staying in town after dark, and because of that, and lashed him a few times with the bullwhip as he cried out in pain and fear. So he took it upon himself. The dad did, took it upon himself to enforce that rule to where, so it was no different, they say, from beatings at another Klan gathering her father had attended. But what happened next remains vivid in her memory. The Klansmen decided to tie the man down to the railroad tracks below the pasture. When they were done, they went back to the field to discuss crops and politics. Isn't that what you do after you tie up?
Of course.
Last time when we were together,
we tied someone up and then went and had a beer.
Yeah, we went and tied them up and then talked politics. That's usually what you do after you violate somebody's civil rights.
Absolutely.
What you
think? I think so.
All right. Wagner, the young lady, Wagner, a reluctant witness to her father's Klan meeting, couldn't stand it anymore. Thank God that there is a God. She stole down to the tracks, used a knife she kept in her boot. Okay,
right on.
So what did Dad said? I think I have a knife in my boot too.
Yeah,
right.
That's why boots are cool.
That's
they are. You can hide anything.
Okay, let's stop. She stole down to the tracks, used a knife she kept in her boot to slash the rope that bound the man, and told him he could follow the tracks to Fort Smith, the nearest large town.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the Children of Hate, okay?
Wow.
And she says that, quote, that was a turning point. Yeah. Now when this report was filed, probably this year, she's 56 years old.
Wow.
She's no longer 12 years old, thank God. And living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, she says, I felt like I made a difference. When I was able to cut that man free.
Wow. Right.
I realized I can make a choice to be a passive observer, or I can become involved to diminish the harm that they were doing. Okay, and this is a little girl, 12 years old.
That's what I was thinking, was how unbelievable it is when, you know, you can see that even children, it's something that's innate in you if you have it, to care for another human being.
And I think that just says that, you know, I think hate and all that stuff, that's taught.
Oh, totally.
It's definitely taught.
No, but there's also something about it being innate, though, you know, natural
goodness
in you.
Goodness.
Because that little girl would have been being taught that, wouldn't she?
Well,
she's living in a household that preaches that.
Right.
So where did it come from her? Except for inside her very spirit.
That's
the difference between right and wrong, and good and bad, and good and evil, and all of that. And it only comes from inside yourself.
Right.
So
and I think that shows in a lot of cases that, you know, that we're inherently made
exactly
in the image.
What I was saying.
And this is what of our Creator, and our Creator is not a hateful,
resentful. I don't think it could be, and have the things that we have here.
Okay, and let me see. And she goes on to say, and that's what I did from that night on, and what I'm still doing.
Wow, amazing.
Okay? Yeah, and it says here that after years of working for the Civil Rights and Children's Organization, Wagner co-founded Families Unite Against Hate, and it's a nonprofit group that helps people affected by bias incidents.
Wow.
Her experience growing up with a father in the Klan made her determined and fearless in her fight against hate. That image of my dad and those men and even the smells are still with me, she said, and they'll always be with me. And it was very important that my children never know the world I knew when I was growing up.
Wow.
You know, and that's really powerful. And that's a key point, I think. We as adults and we as parents, you know, That's a key thing, is that we don't want it with our kids. You know, we don't want to pass it on to our kids, and that's what I say, you know, with my kids. So
absolutely.
That's the Southern Law, Poverty Law Center. That's what they do.
Yeah.
We're going to feature them every week and from then on from forever, because there are people out there, even today in 2010, that just want to see us divided as a people. They just want to see us divided as a people, and as long as we can stay divided, things can stay messed up as it is.
Absolutely.
You know, this show is a representation of the Association of African American Single Mothers, right? We didn't say that today.
No, we didn't.
But what we try to do is we're going to find solutions to all this stuff. We're going to make people
mm-hmm.
aware of what's going on.
That's
but then we're
good.
Going to go on the other end and find solutions, bring people together, and I will mention that at the end of the show, that a couple volunteers that I had the pleasure of meeting and getting agreements from this week, you know, these are people of every color, which is wonderful.
That's
you know,
fantastic.
Until we realize as a nation and as a that people of every color need to stick together to make things better,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not gonna last. We're not going to survive.
I totally agree with that. That is so true.
So this is the diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3, and we're going to play another African melody. And then Ray's going to come on back with and talk about how we turn a bill into law, and we're going to go through all that good stuff. And remember, we're going to go over Haiti today. We're going to talk about the King, Dr. Martin Luther King, and okay.
I can look from my records that we have a break right now.
Okay. Ray doesn't want to take a break,
no,
but she's on.
We can't.
No,
if
you
would like to.
No, let's go. Let's do it.
All
we're
right.
going to talk about turning, because we have a lot of, and I like taking breaks because I like listening to the music, but yeah. You're right, Ray. Let's go. All right.
Okay, well, it was just going to be the beginning of sort of introducing the idea that we all get activated to forward legislation of different types. Into our legislators, whether it's state or federal, so that we can make things happen. I mean, everything happens that way. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about later on, next in the show, is the Martin Luther King birthday holiday.
Right.
And one of the things that you had said is that you wanted a framework sort of that showed people how to say maybe make the curriculum of the schools have to thread Black history
into history lessons.
I thought you meant in every possible way, because this is actually a
now
beautiful.
You know I didn't say that.
No.
Black history class.
Anyway, so
that's all.
No. So what we did is
right.
we took a piece of legislation and we kind of followed it through and to see how it would
okay.
go from one end to the
from
other.
From a thought to actual.
Exactly.
And that was a very important piece of legislation.
Right.
What was it, Lorraine?
Well, I'm not talking about a specific piece.
But we are, right? Come on now. You said you went over
the Martin Luther King.
Yeah, Durr.
No, well, I wasn't going to actually do it based on that. I was just saying, like that, what I based it on was getting a school to have Black history.
Oh, okay. I thought we were saying, but you also have info on Martin Luther King and the timeline of that becoming a law, right? The birthday becoming a law.
Yes, I do, but that's for the Martin Luther King.
Okay, but we can still mention
okay.
it. We not,
all right, no, that's fine.
It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
It's your show, and you
okay.
can do whatever
I just
you
messed
want.
It up.
I'm just your partner in crime.
All right.
Good crime.
Yes.
Give to the... Steal from the rich.
Oh,
anyway,
no,
I'm just kidding. Okay, well, I'm just going to go down a quick framework.
Let me know
what's going on.
That's
and,
what we
okay, want. So the steps are simple, really, to go through it. And so the nitty gritty of all that can be
said
later.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Say it.
Okay.
The steps are simple. What I always think is that the devil is in the details of how everything is going on, and that's where it gets
okay, now you sound like Pat Robertson. We're going to talk about that.
Okay, maybe that wasn't the right
for today, right?
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Right.
But the thing of it is that there's, you know, a definite first step, and the first step is to introduce the legislation to somebody, and that can be somebody that you know or that you've heard of that you want to contact that has a good record to you in the legislature, and somehow you can get that through, even if it's through an organization that you work with. You know, somebody like the American Red Cross if you're asking about certain things.
All right.
And we just go step by step, and a lot of legislators will want to help you because they want to have a good idea sort of backed by real people that they can speak on. And so it's very helpful for them and what they want, their own agendas.
Well, it should be.
Yeah, and so it's just a process, and people don't need to find it threatening or anything. And what I think it needs to mostly be remembered is just the fact that you go step by step, and there's guides to show you, and places like here where we look at these things and like to research them and learn them and everything.
Right, right.
They are fine with the way that things are going.
Okay.
I was trying to set up not going step by step this time. I don't know what you're
doing. Well, give me some of the steps.
Go ahead.
Give me some of the steps.
I did. I said the first step.
Okay.
The legislation is introduced. If you want to go, but see, the problem was that I was backing it up. And if you, I was saying before all of this happens, it's good to have a relationship.
Okay. So once you have the relationship and you tell them your idea, then what's the next step?
The next step is the legislation is introduced by a member of the legislature. And
they introduce it to whom?
They introduce it to the House or the Senate.
Okay.
Either branch.
So they just go and say, hey, I have this idea. And they, is it a speech form kind of thing? Is,
no, they can go into an informal meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They can go into it as a member of a group, and they go in, and then it's the people, the actual assembly member or
mm-hmm.
whatever, they will present it to the, you know how you see it on TV sometimes where they're standing there and they are presenting to the full, you know.
Okay, so
then,
once they present
it, moves to a committee.
Right.
And then then in the committee, it kind of gets all reworked and worked over, and it goes through a whole bunch of different changes once it gets to all the different steps. There's like 8 or 9 steps in the committee that
okay.
go through these different changes of revisions and additions and all this other stuff.
Is that what we're going through with the health care bill?
Absolutely. Well, it's well past committee in the health.
Okay, all right. So kind of make the parallel then. It's past committee in the health care bill. So say, for instance, our bill uh-huh. to bring Black history to class. Okay, it's past committee. What else
then
has to be done?
It has to go to the, once it gets there, it goes to the floor, and then the floor has debate on it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And maybe change it up a little bit.
That's when it gets changed up a little bit. Actually.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, like, that's where you see all of the floor action is all that scrappy stuff that you see people coming out to the podium and talking about each other.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
like,
so.
You see a lot of Pelosi and Reid up
okay.
there. They're scraping.
Okay, so say that they agree. Then what?
Then we go to the debate. And the debate, you know, there's all these different things that are during the debate, like talking the bill to death with a filibuster, all that kind of stuff that you just saw with some of the health care stuff going
right,
on,
right.
going to filibuster it, all that kind of stuff. Then it goes on to the conference committee, where that's where most of the final negotiations take place.
Right
before it's all finished, and they've converged together,
right.
the House and the Senate, or the Assembly and the Senate, depending on if you're talking state in the Assembly and Senate, or United States is in the House and the Senate. And then it goes to this committee, and then it goes to the president. And the president can do a few different things with the bill.
Mm-hmm.
He can sign it.
Right.
He can stall it, but I mean, just a governor can look at it and just wait 30 days, not do anything, and then it just automatically becomes a law, and he has nothing to do with it, or she. That's what some governors do. I think it's
and that's a state issue.
State issue, but also with the president, they can say no, and then, of course, the legislature can override the veto. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so it just depends on what happens with the bill and what numbers you have and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And it just, you know, it's just one of those things.
All right.
And it, you know, it just depends on how you work it and how the bill, what kind of power the bill has. Like right now, we're going to maybe lose an actual senator from Massachusetts, which could skew everything. Then we'll have 59 people
that,
voting for the health care bill.
Got
60.
That the one that's supposed to take Kennedy's place.
Absolutely.
Right? And they say, yeah, if a Republican takes that place, mm-hmm. then hell has definitely closed
over. It's
Tuesday,
so if you know anybody in Massachusetts that's going to be voting on Tuesday, make sure you call them up, tell them to get out there, tell them to vote, and vote for the woman, what's her name, Conyers or something.
Okay.
And because it's going to be a game changer.
Okay. All right, so turning a bill into law. This is Stacy. This is the diary. We're going to take a quick break and play some more of our African music when we come back. We're going to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, and how, you know, before he did unfortunately die, he felt that his dream had become a nightmare. So we're going to go over some of that, quoting some of his actual work. And once again, if you'd like to call in, please do so at 917-889-9946. This is a diary coming out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and here we go. The diary. We're coming out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm your host, Stacy Johnson, and also the director of the nonprofit organization, the Association of African American Single Mothers. And I'm here with my co-host, Ray. She just went over information on how a bill becomes a law and how
or
that.
Attempted to.
Well, don't worry about it. If you have questions, Ray has an email at our site, and she actually is our chairman of our board. So you can email Lorraine at chair@aaasm.org if you have any questions. And she can fill in the gaps if you're interested, if you have any questions or any law-related stuff, political stuff. Right, Ray?
Yeah, definitely. Also on the radio show, too.
Yeah.
My news show, so that you can find on Blog Talk Radio, too.
What's the name of your show?
Bohemian Patriot News, and it's on the Blog Talk Radio. Same way you get here, you get there.
Right.
And
what time? What day?
It's 11 a.m. on Tuesdays.
Right, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and
yes.
I think I'm supposed to be on, but she ain't invited me yet.
Oh, yes, I have. Absolutely. I didn't want to invite you when I wasn't ready for that format. That was just for last time. This was the first time you would be home in the morning.
All right. So now, today, we're going to go on with our discussion on our tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. And he was a man of peace, although he died in a very violent way. But, you know, I downloaded a number of his direct quotes.
Mm.
And I want to go over that
That's
because,
cool.
you know, right when he did was assassinated, his next plan or his next march was going to Washington now, trying to get an economic kind of plan going for for African-Americans and people living in poverty, but more so back then African-Americans, because if you can remember back in those days, African-Americans didn't have civil rights, didn't have the right to just be and live and do like regular people. So he got that passed back in 64 when I was born, the Civil Rights Act, got it passed, blah, blah, blah. You know, so the law was on our side. So what his next step was trying to make policy be on our side, or, you know, economic issues. And that's what he was, you know, that was his job. And you know, so did his dream turn into a nightmare? He felt that it did. And I want to go over some.
Did he actually say that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm going to go over some of his speeches, and I downloaded Martin Luther King Jr. quotes, and you can download that directly off the internet. And this, this was a speech that he, you know, he did in Atlanta, Georgia, back December 24th, so the day before Christmas. Oh, wait a minute. The day before Christmas, December 24th, 1967. He says in 1963. Now he's talking back. He's like 4 years ago. Okay. In 1963 in Washington, D.C., I tried to talk to a nation about a dream that I had had. And I must confess that not long after talking about that dream, I started seeing it turn into a nightmare. Just a few weeks after I talked about it, it was then four beautiful Negro girls were murdered in a church in Birmingham, Alabama. I watched that dream turn into a nightmare. As I moved through the ghettos of the nation, I saw black brothers and sisters perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. And I saw the nation doing nothing to grapple with the Negro's problem of poverty. I saw that dream turn into a nightmare as I watched my black brothers and sisters in the midst of anger and understandable outrage, okay? The only man that knew why we were mad, why were we burning down our own stuff, and the next couple words is going to tell you why. He says, once again, he said, I watched my black brothers and sisters in the midst of anger and understandable outrage, in the midst of their hurt, in the midst of their disappointment, turn to misguided riots to try to solve that problem. I saw the dream turn into a nightmare as I watched the war in Vietnam escalating. The war in Iran, the war in here, the war in there. We try to control everybody, right? Today, we can't control ourselves. We can't take care of our own people. And he's saying Vietnam back then, okay? Let me stop. This ain't part of his dream. This is me. I'm adding my stuff. Let me start again. I saw the dream turn into a nightmare as I watched war in Vietnam escalating. Yes, I am personally the victim of deferred dreams, of blasted hope. And then, not long after that, he was killed. Because he was getting ready. He was getting it ready.
Absolutely.
And I got something on some of my history DVDs in my room that say, he was at the church.
Oh.
And he said, well, we're going to get our check. What they do, they blasted him.
Yeah.
Anybody that tries to stand up for the rights of people of color, this country has blasted them.
That's why we have to do it so many times that there's absolutely no way they could get us all.
That's why I downloaded these quotes, because I don't care about them getting me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because this was even Martin said this, and wait, this is funny. This is crazy. This is before he died. He said, here you go, St. Augustine, Florida, June 5th, 1964, baby. Right before my mama, 6 months before I was born. He said, quote, if physical death is the price I must pay to free my white brothers and sisters from the permanent death of the spirit, then nothing could be more redemptive.
That's
he said, if you're going to kill me,
that's,
okay, because I'm
great.
Trying to free people, I'm going to even free you, okay? If because you're not going to be able to live with that on your heart that you are responsible for my death because all I'm doing is going out there and freeing people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So the Southern Poverty Law Center, the AAASM, you know what I mean? It's time for that crap to stop. That's why my Caucasian brothers and sisters I love, that's why I'm putting out a call this month, Black History Month. I need people of all races, all generations, to stand up and tell America that this old stuff from back in 1964, 63, it needs to stop.
Yeah.
You know, looking at those Haitian people and not caring. What did Michael Savage, okay, the biggest racist on radio in the afternoon.
Oh, God.
One of our soldiers is in jail for something. He's going to jail for something. And like so many people that just went buck wild when George Bush was president, everybody thought back then they could do what they wanted to do, whether it was our soldiers, our people in charge of our banks. Everybody, it was like a swarm on everybody, just get it, just get yours. It was a riot on America thanks to George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's this soldier that's going to jail for something, but he's giving $25,000 to the soldier, and he's saying to hell with the people in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
He said to hell with Haiti. 100,000 people dying in Haiti. That lets me know to some white people in this country, one white man's life is more important than 100,000 people of color, and that's ridiculous. That's shameful. And it's shameful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No
so,
doubt.
This is a diary. These are the kind of things we talk about. Martin Luther King's dream is not a nightmare because we are here, Southern Poverty Law Center's here, to get these things right in our time. This is the diary. We're going to play a new life because that's what we're talking about right now. Diary. This is Stacy. I'm coming out of Sacramento. This is the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. Today we are going over the life and the love and the dream and the nightmare of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I just want to finish up on that because we need to get to Haiti. We have a two-part series on Haiti So we need to get to that right now. But I just want to, you know, when I went off for the break, you know, Ray was kind of fanning me down, like, cool down, cool down. You know,
my God.
You know, and I was talking to my daughter, and I'm just going to make this quick. You know, we're going to go over some more of Dr. King's quotes. But, you know, and a lot of his, he understands why African-Americans are so mad and so angry and so upset about the things that were going on in their lives at that time.
Absolutely.
You know, and I tell my daughter now, you know, I try not to have hatred for anybody in my heart. But, you know, this racial thing, it hits me in a lot of ways because I raise sons that just get treated like crap. You know, when people think I ain't looking, think, well, I'm not looking, think the kid's not looking, they just treat them bad, whether it's in their public school system that I, my taxes that I pay, you know, when I go to work, pay for it, and I feel that they should be treated better. You know, it's like I have to tell my daughter, you know, I try not to, and I'm not going to go the rest of my life that God gives me being hateful. I said, but black people, I can understand their hatred because there are other groups of people that hate them just simply because of the color of their skin. It's like I was in a major grocery store here in Sacramento, and somebody was following me. He was following me, a 45-year-old woman,
yeah,
following me in the grocery store. I mean, that's
absolutely
just, you know, so it's like Dr. Martin Luther King died to give us equal rights, to make black people, give people, black people hope that you are, you know, you're just as good as anybody else that is brought to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about. And once again, all through Black History Month, all through this month, I want people to join with me no matter what your color. And stand up, join our go to the website, give me your email address, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center. I want you to join with me in saying we're going to stop racism and even the appearance of racism and all that hateful Pat Robertson-type stuff. We're going to stop all of that.
Absolutely.
Today before it just ruins us as a nation. We're a young nation.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been around very long. And the one thing that has always almost broken us apart has always been this race issue. And we need to just leave it alone, set it aside, let people be people, whether they're black people, white people, gay people, Haitian people. Let people be people because God, the Creator, made us all.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we're going to go to the history of Haiti. And once again, I want to, all my prayers and all my hope goes out to the suffering people of Haiti that their suffering ends soon. You know, that those are, you know, I'm looking on the TV and Pat Robertson talking about, oh, this happened because they made a deal with the devil. You know, every Haitian person that I talk to or that I watch talk to people, the first thing out of their mouth is how they were so grateful to God that they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know very many people that worship the devil, so first thing out of their mouth say they're grateful to God that they're alive. So, you know, that kind of stuff, they made a deal. Who is he to say, you know, and I equate that to, okay, something really bad happened in these people's country, and they happen to be all brown people. You know, and looking at just off top, 50% of those people are illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of stuff for many years has gone wrong in Haiti. I'm almost
yeah,
certain
oh,
of that.
Well, absolutely.
You know, but to say that they deserve this because at some point in time, his goofy self says they made a pact with the devil is just ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Absolutely, and because of the fact that Haiti was founded on by slaves that revolted in order to get their own country, which
right.
is a marvelous, unbelievable thing. I mean, can you imagine the position that they were in coming over? A lot of the people in the rebellion were people that came over from Africa and had just reached the shores of what is now Haiti. And
okay.
decided they weren't going to take it. No way. They were free in their country.
They got their freedom there, unlike that we were able to get.
But my point with all of that, right, the second was just to say that these people, of course, they come from a different, you know, their whole history has been through working through the strife and everything that had to come through fighting for that and becoming a country that is 95% Black. That's amazing. It's amazing that a lot of the things about the culture that still is
okay,
embedded in there.
But my whole point of that, and we're going to go over the actual history, but he's saying this happened to them because they made a pact with the devil.
Right.
Basically, they get what they asked for. Okay, well, something bad, really bad happened to us that we never thought about ever in our life, 9/11. What pact with whom did we make that pact?
This is the same.
You see what I'm saying? It's just ignorant crazy.
That's what I'm saying, that Pat Robertson is the same man that after 9/11 said that the United States deserved it, that they asked for it by the way that we live our lives.
So
he has a track record of saying those kind of
inane
things that have to do with nothing.
And Rush Limbaugh said, we need to stop
all of that.
If those voices can be so loud out there, that we need to have equal voices that are just as loud, that are talking about peace.
Absolutely.
And goodness and love and helping people no matter what the circumstance. Because realistically, God blesses good people and rotten people. So it really doesn't make a difference.
All right. True.
Now, the history of Haiti, we got a two-part series that we got going on here. And we're going to break it today. Hopefully, we can get the time in. We're going to break it up today into three parts. Haiti originally was Spanish, Hispaniola. And forgive me on my Spanish and my French, okay? Originally, okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about French Saint Dominique. That's the second phase of what Haiti went through. And then we're going to end it up, if we have the time, and if not, we're going to continue it next time, with the revolutionary period, okay? And so, first part, Spanish Hispaniola. Columbus established a small settlement, but and he returned in 1493. His settlers had disappeared. Presumably killed, he thought. He claimed the whole island for Spain at that time in 1493. He left his brother and found a new settlement. Okay? That's originally, and this is before, we're talking about these black people, the French people, before all of that.
Right, right.
Okay? So following the arrival of the good old Europeans that, you know, they end up everywhere somehow. Right? Our folks,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Our folks. Following the arrival of the Europeans, Haiti's indigenous population, okay, the Haitians, and they weren't even Haitians then because that's not what it was called,
mm-hmm.
but Haiti's indigenous population suffered near extinction and possibly the worst case of depopulation in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
A commonly accepted hypothesis, so that hypothesis by definition is an educated thought, guess. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but a commonly accepted hypothesis attributes the high mortality of this colony, in part, to old world diseases to which natives had no immunity, just like the Indians maybe. The colonists also killed a considerable number of natives both directly and indirectly by enslavement and murder. Okay, now these people, and forgive me for mispronunciation, Tainos, T-A-I-N-O-S, those folks.
That's pretty good.
Okay, were able to survive and to set up villages elsewhere. Okay, next. Spanish interest in Hispaniola began to fall off in the 1520s as more lucrative gold and silver deposits were found in Mexico and South America. So Haiti, everybody was just getting what they could get out of that part of the world. When there was nothing to get, they left. So thereafter, the population of Spanish Hispaniola grew slowly because there wasn't nobody to kill them all off. Okay? Fearful of pirate attacks, the King of Spain in 1606 ordered all colonists on Hispaniola to move closer to the capital city, Santo Domingo. Okay? The decision backfired on him as the British, Dutch, and French pirates then established bases on the island, abandoned northern and western coast. So the French basically were the next folks in there. Because the Spaniards made a wrong statistical move, the French took over.
Okay.
So now, that's our first fight, Spanish Hispaniola. That's how that ended.
Okay.
Bad statistical move.
Right.
They no longer had control.
So now
we
on
French.
All
right, now.
Napoleon and all.
Right, there we go. French buccaneers established, so basically more pirates, established a settlement on the island of Tortuga, T-O-R-T-U-G-A. Don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
So you spoke.
Right. In 1625, they survived by pirating Spanish ships and hunting wild cattle. Although the Spanish destroyed the buccaneer settlement several times, on each occasion they returned. The first official settlement on Tortuga was established in 1659 under the commission of King Louis XIV. So that's our boy. So
okay.
That's one of our founding dudes, right? He's a he's one of the reasons why America, because, right, he's the king of England, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So basically that's our folks.
Okay.
All right, our founding fathers.
Yeah, lovely.
All right, now, in 1664, 300 years before I was born, the newly established, thank God, French, in 1664, the newly established French West India Company, and we know about those guys, the
yes.
French West
oh,
India
yeah.
Company,
sure.
Those are our folks, right, that just treated black people like cattle, and, yeah, took control over the colony, which it named, like French, right,
mm-hmm.
Saint Dominique.
Okay, very good.
Okay, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And France.
Mm-hmm.
My son would die on that one. And France formally claimed control of the western portion of the island of Hispaniola. In 1670, they established the first permanent French settlement on the mainland of Hispaniola, Cap François, later Cap Français. Now, Cap Haïtien. Haitien.
Okay.
I did take 3 years of French, so I
hey.
I it's been a long time, but I think
mm-hmm.
I know how to, maybe, I don't know, but I'm
you're
doing
closer than a lot of people would be, don't
all
worry
right.
about it.
Now, to continue, under the 1697 Treaty of Ryswick, R-Y-S-W-I-C-K,
mm-hmm.
Spain officially ceded the west third of Hispaniola, so they officially gave it up to
mm-hmm.
France. By that time, planters outnumbered buccaneers, and the encouragement of Louis XIV and had begun to grow tobacco, indigo, cotton, coca on the fertile northern plain, thus prompting the importation of who? Da, 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 African slaves. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah, that's that boo.
Boo. Slave insurrections were frequent, and some slaves escaped to the mountains where they were met by what could be one of the last generations of the native people. Remember the Tioans?
Yeah.
The Tiano natives. After the last Tiano died, the full-blooded Arawakan, and that's A-R-A-W-A-K-A-N population on the island was extinct. Okay? So the black people that were there weren't really, the native people died off a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
these black people that live there today were imported thanks to the French, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, they were.
Now, that's going to be our first part on the history of Haiti.
That's wonderful, though. I found that I like the progression of learning about all of that, because it does make you understand sort of the cyclical
right.
problems that this
right.
nation has had.
Right.
And know that our next move just has to be to get it on its feet.
Right. And any time I'm noticing, even with the Katrina folks, and that was part of our thing, you know, are the Haitian folks being treated like the Katrina folks? Well, first of all, the Haitian government is not very organized, so that's like a strike against them from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the conditions, 100,000 people died because of these poorly built
right.
structures.
Right.
I mean, you know, so that's part of it,
right.
you know, right there. So, yeah, we can blame the Haitian government, who technically are the black people in charge of them. But, you know, I think when people are in need, it doesn't make a difference what color you are, what race you are. Let's just help people in need. It's
mm-hmm.
not because all of these people are people of color, just like, you know, the people in Katrina in New Orleans. You know,
mm-hmm.
we tend to say, oh, well, they're used to suffering, so, you know, they'll make it. But no, they're human
no,
beings.
They're absolutely. And
they're
nobody,
human beings.
Nobody should have to live at that level.
So, you know, we're going to continue next week. To go over the remaining part of the history, the revolution,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to try to get into a little of the current history of Haiti, but once again, our hearts, our minds, our souls go out to the people of Haiti and their families, and, you know, we hope America, the people that are in charge of doing this kind of stuff, will go out there and do what's in the best interest of the people out there. You know, this is the diary. We hope, you know, that we always bring interesting things to talk about to the radio every Sunday. We ask that you call in and give us your thoughts. You can also email us and email me directly at director@aaasm.org. And the website is www.aaasm.org. You can call in any Sunday when we're on. Our call-in number is 917-889-9946. And right now, before we close out and before we finish up, we want to give you a little information about the association and what we do and what we're planning on doing, and we're heading out. And once again, I want to thank a couple of volunteers that I've dealt with and met and talked with about what we want to do this week. I want to thank Terrence for meeting with me and training with me on the Boys to Men Project. And that's a mentoring program for young boys that grew up in a home with no father, which is almost an epic.
Epidemic.
Yeah, it's bad. It's like 70% of our young African-American males only grow up in a home with their mom, who, you know, is challenged in a way, you know, trying to culture her, I mean, trying to nurture herself, nurture her kids, make enough money to support the family. You know, it's not fair, but she does it. We try to give the moms help, but our Boys to Men Project, we're going out this week, next week, out in the Sacramento area, in the Natomas area. We have agreements with the Natomas Unified School District. They're going to help us recruit some of the boys, and, you know, that's what we're doing. And we need volunteers, young black males that are willing to go out and just, you know, be with us when we do our sports events. We're going to have a kick at night every Friday in Natomas at from 4:30 to 7. So if we can have some volunteers, some young men out there, just to be on watch and to sit. All they're going to do is eat. We're going to cook for them. They're going to play Xbox. They're going to watch video games. Play video games. They're going to watch movies. But these young boys need somewhere to go. So that's what we're doing right now, our Boys to Men Project, doing some outreach. We need to get a hold of these young boys. We complain about them, but there's nowhere for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't go home, and they need somewhere to go. So we can't complain if we're not willing to go out there and do something. So our Boys to Men Project, we meet on Fridays, every Friday, 4:30 to 7. We kick it, we eat, we play video games, we talk sports. They love me, I love them, I'm their mom, I don't care. You know, and I have my sons helping out. Terrence is going to be out there, Mr. Williams, he's going to be helping out, kind of getting things going. I want to also thank Cheyenne. She's going to be my office manager. She's going to help me get the paperwork together so we can get this thing rolling like
very
it should.
Important, yeah.
So this is the diary. This is the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday from 3 to 4. We talk about things, first of all, things that we want to change. We want people to start thinking, change, helping people, loving people, no matter what the color. I love my black people, so I'm going to always reach out to my black people first. And I hope black people reach out to us. I want all people to reach out because we help anybody, regardless of race or religion. And you can go to my Facebook. That would be my name, Stacey F. Johnson. And that's S-T-A-C-E-Y, F as in Felicia, Johnson. Facebook, I'm up there, pictures from the website. You can be a fan. You can Twitter me, and our Twitter address is AAASMORG. My email address, email me directly at director@aaasm.org. And what I'm about to do is turn on the chat line. You can chat for about maybe an hour. I'm turning it on right now. We're going to chat. But thanks for listening in. We got a lot of people listening in. This, you know, these past couple of days, really listening to us. We love that. This is the diary. Remember, every Sunday coming out of SAC at 3 o'clock p.m. from 3 to 4. We love y'all. We love you. We love you. Have a good week. Dr. Martin Luther King, thank you for your sacrifice.
And happy birthday, Martha.
And happy birthday. And you know what? We're going to keep your word going. While you smiling, I hope you smiling on us in heaven. Because we working on what we going to get the check, Dr. King.